Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. The Reverend Robert Zagore is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from St. Paul's Epistle to the Romans, the 6th chapter. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin live in it any longer? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we've been united with him in a death like this, we also shall be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This is one of those passages of Scripture that you no doubt learned in catechism class as you were talking about baptism. What are the gifts of baptism? Where is this written? Romans chapter 6, where the Lord says, if you're baptized into Christ, you've died with him, and if you've died with him, you'll also be raised with him. You've learned this perhaps since childhood, and you hear it all the time. And so it's remarkable to me that among most faithful Christians, we regularly act as though we don't believe it. And the chief place where we show our disbelief of this is when somebody who's kind of on the theological margins dies. And you've all known them. I knew them for many years in the parish and have known members of my own family who are like this, where people see their death and they fight furiously to find some evidence of faith in their life so that they can be sure that they've gone to heaven. Isn't it remarkable that that's never a standard that the Bible gives, but it's one that we, even the most faithful, seem to try to want to apply, especially when the death happens in terrible circumstances. In one of my congregations and times before I had served it, just before I had gotten to one, the organist died while in the commission of an adulterous affair. Did they go to heaven? Well, they showed evidence of faith. And then they didn't. And was their last act sufficient enough that it took away all hope? We ask the same questions around suicides and around deaths where somebody hasn't been in church for a long time. Death is an ever-present reality. I was filling in for a local congregation doing pulpit supply this weekend, and I noted that our opening hymn was written by a man whose son just died. We're always there, and when somebody dies, we say, did we see evidence of faith? And what does that lead us to? It leads us to despair, and it leads us to a Pharisee-like division of law, trying to figure out if they've done enough, if they've shown enough, if they've demonstrated enough. It leads us to pester people on their bedsides. Will you now confess the faith, even now that you're facing death? And what that does is it leads us away from the one place where we're going to find assurance. Because as we look to individuals, we will always find that they've fallen short. that the evidence of faith is not going to be sufficient to sustain us. And it's always going to leave us with that horrible issue of wondering if there was something that we didn't see, or if it was enough, or if God had accepted it. And we will not escape it, especially for those that we love. I promise you that it's a road that will keep you circling around the drain until you finally go into it. St. Paul takes us to where we need to go first. Anytime you deal with death, if you don't deal with it with Christ, with Him being the actor, with Him being the worker, you're going to be left with uncertainty and sorrow. But St. Paul says, don't you know that those who are baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? And if we're joined with Him in a baptism like His, we will also be raised with Him in a resurrection like His. The certainty that we have surrounding somebody's death does not come from the promises that they've made. Does not come from the sufficient proof of their faith. And I think we do ourselves a disservice when we start talking about people that way. Even the most faithful, even the most pious. I had the benefit of attending to the death of a brother pastor. And his family and even his children were standing around the bedside begging him to make a confession of faith, that faith which had been in evidence all of his life, but they wanted to make sure that at the last minute the thing that he had said was about Jesus. And it's not a bad thing. After all, in the parish, I even asked people as part of their will package that we asked them to put together for the sake of the church, not to put the church in their will necessarily, but what will their funeral service be? What do they have a confession of faith that they'd like to make so that their family knows their belief and knows their hope and so on? I'd often read them. So it's not a horrible thing, but the family was just badgering this poor dying man who could barely speak. Finally, I looked at him and I said, Jim, the family would like to know about how they get to heaven. Will you tell them? And he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And I left it at that. I walked out of the room and I asked the family to do it too. Because what had he done? He had pointed to the Lord's Prayer where Jesus takes us to the Father. That our Father isn't all of us and God. It's us and Jesus. He takes us to the Father who hears our prayers. We go with Him as the bride of Christ. That's where faith and hope rests, at the point of death, and everywhere that we look for some proof, some evidence that we're saved, that the people that we love are saved. Is Jesus bringing them to the Father? Do we have His word? Do we have His promise? Have we seen His cup of salvation touch their lips? Do we know that the waters of baptism splashed over them? Have we heard them be brought to the Father with Jesus in prayer? Not on them, but on Him. Rests all the burden and all of our hope. Anytime you try to face the questions of life and death, salvation, hope, or peace, without running them through Jesus, you only end up in despair. But where we look to Him, all of the promises of God are yes in Christ Jesus. Not because we've suddenly pierced the mystical veil between heaven and earth and we can see them standing before the throne of grace, but because we know that they're not responsible for their salvation and we're not responsible for it, but the one who is loves them and has sought them since before the foundation of the world. He's declared that it's his will that all be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, and we've seen him at work in their baptism. We've seen him at work in their lives. We've seen that the Father, who loves them more than we could ever love them, has been at work in them. And we rest in his promises. We rest in his peace. We rest in what he's said. Those who are joined to Christ have been joined to his death, and if we've been joined to him in a death like his, we will also be raised with him in a resurrection like his. This is our peace. And you will never find it in the deceased. Because what we really need for peace is life. And life is only found in Jesus. Those that he takes to the Father. In Jesus' name, amen.